faster, all the way to the bottom. If Lady Rachel Carter needed to snort some lines of jolt in the middle of a public meal, then the bottom of the slope couldn't be that far away for her. Ryan finally realized who the customer was of the jolt dealers he chilled. While Harvey Carter snuffled and grunted his way through his trough of food, his wife methodically began her preparations for doing the drug. Ryan and the others continued to eat quietly, occasionally becking to one of the silent servants for more bread or vegetables. Rachel eased the cork from the narrow neck of the small tinted bottle, tipping a half gram or so of the sparkling white powder onto the scored surface of the mirror. She concentrated on the task, oblivious to the glances of her guests. Gripping the thin section of surgical steel and using it to chop and grind the jolt into smaller grains, she eventually arranged the drug into a half dozen neat, ordered lines across the glass.
Anyone want a sniff?
Two spots of bright color highlighted her spare cheekbones. When everyone had shaken their heads, she rummaged once more in her purse, triumphantly pulling out a narrow tube of carved ivory. She carefully inserted one end into her right nostril and closed the other with a thin forefinger. Lowering her head over the mirror, she sniffed up one of the lines of jolt, moved quickly to the next line, and then the next. Eventually, all six lines of the iridescent powder had been snorted. Her body shook in the characteristic tremors that gave the drug its common nickname. Rachel's breath came in sharp gasps, and her eyes rolled back in their sockets. Her husband totally ignored her convulsions, busy as he was, with rending strips of meat off the carcass of an unidentifiable fowl.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Her breathing slowed down again. She licked the mirror clean with a long, feline tongue, then tucked all the jolt paraphernalia back into her purse. Looking up, she became aware that the eyes of the four strangers were on her.
Good, my lady.
Better than good, Master Thursby.
She licked her lips very slowly as she looked at him.
It is better than anything. Better than the most wonderful fucking you could imagine. Better than pain. Better even than death.
And we know how much you enjoy death, don't we, dearest mother?
None of them had heard the newcomer arrive in the hall. Ryan noticed immediately how the servants backed away, eyes cast down. The old man with the bread salver came within an inch of dropping it, face angled to the stone floor. The light from the numerous beeswax candles danced off the polished orb of amethyst at the end of the gold chain around the young man's slender throat. He was dressed in a coat and trousers of black velvet and black boots. In his belt was a small high-velocity dart gun that fired a cluster of razored metal projectiles only a half inch long, their shafts barbed to make withdrawal difficult and damaging.
Jabez, you have come to join us?
Of course. We have guests so rarely, and they stay for such a short time.
Ryan looked curiously at his nephew. Harvey's son was in his late teens, of average height and build, with a face that seemed oddly unbalanced. The right side was higher and more angular, the corner of the eye twisted and pulled down, as though the young man was continuously blinking. Jabez's complexion had a deathly pallor, as if the light of the sun were never permitted anywhere near him. His hairline was receding, hair cut short, and of a nondescript brown color. Rachel Carter reached out for her only child.
Come kiss me, son of my loins.
While the others looked on, Jabez strode the length of the table, stooped, and kissed his mother on the cheek. A dutiful, filial kiss. As he straightened, he caught Ryan's eye on him and smiled, which sent a chill down Ryan's spine.
More, mother dearest.
The boy leaned and gently lifted Rachel's face to his. He lowered his mouth onto hers, pressing it over her parted lips. As he leaned across her, he allowed his left hand to drift over the front of her dress until it cupped Rachel's right breast. Lady Rachel Carter made a helpless gesture of resistance, then gave herself up to him. When he finally released her, Jabez's mother was flushed and panting, smiling up at her son and holding his hand in hers. Even from where he sat, Ryan could see the unmistakable bulge pressing at the front of the lordling's breeches. Baron Harvey Cotter ate on, never lifting his eyes from his bowl.
Gaia!
Christy pushed her plate away in disgust.
Eat it. Don't let him know it matters.
Jabez finally turned away from his mother and totally ignored his father.
You've traveled far, Master Thursby, I hear.
We have traveled many miles for many years, my lord Jabez.
And you have lost an eye. How careless.
It is common enough in the Deathlands. And an arm or a leg, or even a mind.
As though he were bored, Jabez sat and beckoned over his shoulder to the servants to bring him food, taking only chunks of pork.
Bring that here!
When Harvey finished a plate, he would knock it from the hands of the particular servant with a grunt of rage that rose high and thin like the scream of a gelded animal. Down at the other end of the table, there was no conversation between Jack, JB, Christy, and Ryan, each locked in his or her own thoughts. Ryan's mind was whirling at the visible madness that ran the bill. Harvey was a double crazy who would eat himself into the grave within the next few months. His wife was psychotically withdrawn and obviously dependent on Jolt. From the junkies Ryan had seen, the woman would also be dead within the year. And that would leave her incestuous son, Jabez. The security at Front Royal was tight, primed with fear, and it would be hard to find a way of slaughtering his brother and family. Their insanity was both a plus and a minus. This needed careful consideration.
A rabbit, Master Thursby?
You're well informed.
Thieves are blinded in parts of Deathlands, Thursby.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Are you a thief, Thursby? You and the killer and the two muties? Killers, are you? Are they killers, Mother? Should I take them where it's quiet and ask them?
Rachel didn't answer, but Harvey looked up, eyes bright amid the smeared food.
I'm eating, you filthy little bastard! Fuck off! Go on, get away from my table before I...
What'll you do, Father? Thursby the killer and his friends are listening.
They can leave after breaking their fast tomorrow morning. I'm bored with them. Hear me, Thursby. You can go tomorrow.
Thank you, Baron Cotter.
Ryan's mind raced. That meant they must do what they could during the night. There was that secret door between his room and Christie's.
More of those eggs!
Ryan's brother struggled to look over his hunched shoulder for that particular delicacy. Rachel was sitting back in her chair, waving a hand dreamily to and fro. Like her husband and her son, the woman marched to the beat of a different drummer.
Your hair is beautiful!
Jabez pushed his own seat back so hard that it crashed over onto the floor. Ryan felt a pang of concern. The young man moved with a lethal elegance, allowing his hand to drift over the carved chairs, gesturing for the old man with the breadboard to step out of his way. When he reached Christy, he stopped, his eyes flicking between Ryan and his mother. There was something about Ryan that bothered him. That was clear. His hand darted out like a striking adder and tugged at the cord that kept Christy's flowing scarlet hair bound up. It tumbled about her shoulders in such a cascade of light and color that even the Baron was distracted from his eating for a moment.
So pretty, pretty, pretty. Tonight I'll come and visit. Oh, ch-ch. But not a word to Mother. She gets so jealous.
Jack laid his fork down on the china plate, his knuckles whitening on the hilt of the table knife. JB caught his eye and made a subtle, cautionary movement with his hand. Ryan watched Christie's face, seeing the green eyes narrow, then close. The girl was fighting for inner control against the hand that rested on her shoulder, then began to caress her nape. Jabez was staring beyond Christie's head, smiling gently at his mother, who now sat up straight and looked at him, emotionless, slate-eyed.
Your hair is the most beautiful hair I've ever seen. It's so soft, it's so...
For a splinter of a second, Ryan thought Christy had succumbed to the temptation to use the awesome power of her Earth Mother against Jabez. Then he realized that the young man had been startled by Christy's sentient hair, which had coiled and tangled around his fingers. Everyone in the room looked up, including the doddering old man who carried the bread. The old man's eyes fastened for the first time on Ryan, and his mouth sagged open in shock. The hand shot out and pointed.
By the martyrs, our prayers are answered. Lord Ryan himself has come back!
There was a moment of utter silence. Everyone reacted in different ways to the shock. If Ryan had been counting the beats of his own heart, he would have reached 20 before anything happened in the banquet hall. Harvey Carter lifted his porcine face from his dish very slowly, staring at Ryan with an expression of growing horror. Lady Rachel unfolded her hands and carefully laid each one, as if it were a rare piece of porcelain, on the linen cloth in front of her. Her face didn't alter as she absorbed the news. Jabez Pendragon Carter took a dozen slow steps backward in the direction of the fireplace. His eye blinked rapidly, and his hand began to creep toward the dart gun in his belt.
Ryan! My brother?
Harvey shook his head stupidly.
How can...
Dead! You're dead! Dead for 20 years! Bones and blood! But you shall stay dead, Uncle!
Jabez drew the blaster and aimed it at the center of Ryan's chest, finger white on the slim trigger, lips peeled back off his yellowed teeth in an expression of tiger-like delight. Ryan had known this moment would come one day. If you lived your life by the blaster, it was certain that eventually you'd die by it.
Ryan!
He heard Christy, sounding a far way off, calling his name. But he sat there and looked into the eyes of his nephew, waiting for the shock of death. But his death was not to come that day. The old man moved first, lightning fast for his age. Mouth working, he stood there, stunned with everyone else.
Lord Carter, forgive me!
Then he threw himself at Jabez Carter, clawing at the young man's face. Ryan heard the distinctive sound of the dart gun, and the servant's body jerked backward like a gaffed salmon. With arms flung out, he toppled over, blood frothing from his open mouth, darkening the front of his uniform. He lay there, legs twitching, dulled eyes staring blankly at the vaulted ceiling of the hall, as if he'd never noticed it before. His lips moved as he tried to speak, and he struggled to turn his head toward Ryan.
Sorry.
And then the old man died. Jabez spat at him and wrestled with a stubborn mechanism for recocking the blaster. The Secman started to move in, and Jack leapt to his feet, going for a Secman with a table knife, cutting the man's forearm to the bone before he was clubbed to the rush-covered floor. Ryan, JB, and Christy didn't resist. Trader used to say that there was a time to fight, but more important was the time you decided not to fight. The stones would have been awash with blood if Lady Rachel had not acted. She raised her hand.
Alive! Take them all alive! Chain Ryan and lock up the others! Triple guard!
And so it happened. Jack was carried away unconscious, bleeding from a gash on his temple. The others walked, escorted by Secmen, back to their chambers. On the way, Ryan looked around and saw that the tall sergeant was still in charge of them.
One question.
What?
That old man who died.
Yeah, what of him?
Who was he? Didn't recognize him.